How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. This is the podcast for you if you're looking to improve your business, your body, and your brain. It's the weekend. That means I've got a brand new mentor for you. Every weekend, I give you 10 minutes from our most impactful and insightful guests, and they act as our mentors for the week ahead. Today is no different. We have Fiona Parfrey, the co-founder of Riley. Fiona, along with Anya and Lauren, have launched one of the hottest startups to come out of Ireland in the last 5 years. Their growth has been explosive, and the traction they've got with customers already is incredibly impressive. Over the next 10 minutes, she's going to explain how they got so much press coverage so early, and most importantly, how they work together cohesively as a team. Three co-founders can be a tricky situation to navigate, and they're doing it beautifully. So listen to her insights as to how they're doing that. This is today's mentor moment, Fiona Parfrey. Before we kick in with Fiona, here's a quick thank you to my partners, Iconic. If you're a regular listener of the pod, which I hope you are, you'll know I've been hosting the podcast from Iconic offices for quite a while now, and things have gone really, really well. So well, in fact, that I'm now a member of Iconic offices, working and recording from one of their spaces. This means I can vouch for the benefits it gives to any business. On that note, Iconic offices have given me a number of exclusive complimentary day office trials for my audience. So try it out for yourself for the day. Bring your team. No catches. Simply go to the web link in the description and enter Gary23, so it's Gary23, to claim your complimentary office for a whole day. It's a pretty fantastic offer. Thank you, Iconic offices.
In all honesty, Gary, that we realized that we weren't working very efficiently because we were all doing everything and that we needed to like take a step back and give ourselves as a team like clear roles and responsibilities and clear accountability. And that worked wonders for us. But it was only until we actually started doing it that we realized, you know, that we had to actually work on that. So I think a lot of these things with startups is just like they're a work in progress, you know.
How did you come up with the roles then? Because that's quite tough.
So we had been working on the business for a few months, I suppose, and we all had different areas that we enjoyed, but we all have different skill sets as well. And it happened quite naturally because what ended up happening was we didn't foresee it, but we launched as a direct consumer business and kind of thought like potentially down the lines corporate sales would be fantastic in another 2 to 3 years once you've built up our brand and people know who we are. But they happened way sooner. We got lots, the Irish press is amazing. We got lots of coverage when we launched, and what that led to was a lot of inbound leads from corporates who were looking to like supply their staff bathrooms with free period products for their staff.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so we jumped on the opportunity. And Lauren, who has lots of experience in corporate sales, like that was her forte.
Okay.
She'd never done direct consumer before. And that turned into a much bigger part of our business than we had anticipated. And now Lauren like full time looks after that.
Wow.
My experience is in direct consumer. So naturally, like the e-commerce side and the marketing, digital marketing fell kind of naturally with me. And then Anya wanted to learn more about the operations. So her background is in customer success. So she was looking after that, but she wanted to learn more about the operations side. It helped that all of our stock was sitting in her house. So she was kind of forced into it in a way, but she's been looking after all that and working on a really exciting project for us to outsource all that from Q1 of next year. So it just kind of has happened that way. And we're actually have decided that we're going to have a chat in the next week or so about next year. And do we want to continue with these, you know, particular roles and what that looks like going forward? Because over time, you know, obviously it will change. So like we really want to focus on product development and growing out the business that way next year. And who's going to be heading that up? So
We're
trying to plan for those kind of projects more clearly than we did at the beginning.
You touched on it there, but how did you, when someone launches, you know, I think a lot of people have time to be thinking about stuff now, and e-com has exploded in the last 12 months. A lot of people have kind of ideas for e-com products and websites and businesses. How did you get the word out there when you started? You kind of touched on it there a little bit of press, but when you launched day one and you said, oh, ping straight away, how does that happen?
Yeah, so we had a few different strategies. We started building up our like social following before we launched by, I suppose, like sharing content online. And we built up our email database as well, so leading people to a landing page whereby they could leave their email, so that on day one then we could, you know, market to them and hopefully generate some sales. But we also put together a press release that we sent around to quite a large press list in Ireland, and we started generating sales that way quite naturally, which was great because I think it was a really good story for journalists to cover, like female founders starting this business that's a topical subject in the midst of a pandemic, and people find it really interesting. So we were lucky enough to get press, and then yeah, like we had our email list built up and our social built up, and then naturally it just started to grow from there. It was a couple of months before we actually started putting money into advertising, like on Google and Facebook, Instagram, all of that. We also started like a TikTok page whereby we like showed what we were doing the day of our launch, and like I think that the last time I checked that video had like 50,000 or 60,000 views.
I love that kind of behind the scenes stuff. I'm addicted to watching that behind the scenes, like warehouse. It's a weird thing I like watching.
Yeah,
like
no,
warehouses and operations behind the scenes. I love that because it's just real. Like, and I think that's what a lot of brands are now recognizing. Like smaller brands can recognize that. It's like the guy that built Gymshark. Like he's been doing that since day one, and now he's able to go back and pull all these videos together of like, oh, this is me sewing it in my garage, and this is me finishing a pizza and then going to deliver, and now they're worth over a billion. So like it's exactly. So
I think people like it because it's like it's not that, you know, pretend sexy glam side of this. Actually, there's like real people working really hard, you know, and people find it quite relatable. So we've kind of, you know, I suppose we've seen that from the results of our engagement rates on our social and stuff. And I think it's really easy for new businesses to try and put this professional front forwards when actually what I believe they should do is utilize that startup story for as long as they can, because that's only going to last so long and people really find it engaging, you know?
100%. It's like this podcast. It's just stories, narrative, people's stories. That's what people are fascinated by.
Yeah.
And exactly what you said there. Because then you reach a certain point and you're just another big business. You're just another big global corp, with, you know, and you don't know who's behind it. And I love when websites are very personalized. You can see the team and you can see, you know, here we are, here's our office. And, you know, it matters, you know, because especially now when there's just so much noise, you're like, you're not sure who you're buying from. You know, it's kind of a generic packaging, a generic brand. I think it's so important now to show that personality and that those people behind the brands. You mentioned there about PR coverage, it's just a good story. This is something that comes up a lot. A lot of small founders can't get coverage and they're kind of amazed as to why it's not, you know, suddenly everyone's running to cover their new product launch. How do you craft that story? Obviously, you have to have an interesting story, right? You guys have an unbelievable story, but how do you craft that and you know, make people understand it or help them understand it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because you're right, people aren't just going to cover you for the sake. You have to have that narrative and that story. And I think from our side, what we did is like we wrote our press release like from the eyes of the reader. Like, why would this, if this appeared in a journalist's inbox at 8 a.m. on a Thursday morning, why are they going to find this interesting over all the other press releases that they receive? And so it is about making that personal connection, you know. So we explained how we came up with the business, and a lot of the journalists that we were sending this to were female as well. So they found it really relatable, and like our plans and what we were doing, and got some quotes from people and things like that. But I think for us, when we were reaching out to press, it was very important for us that we didn't just like email blast a whole list and say, there you go. Like we made sure to do the research. It took time. Like it took
Dear sir, madam.
Like, no, they're just going to been that, you know? So we took the time to really research the journalists and figure out like who was on our target list and then why they were. So, you know, for example, reaching out to a journalist in her.ie who had recently written about female fertility, like they'll definitely find this in this story interesting, and actually like acknowledging that in your email. But it paid off for us, you know. We did get quite a lot of coverage, and like even now we try and maintain that relationship, not just with the journalists who've written about us, but we have some kind of micro influencers who are brand ambassadors for us, and we try and have as much of a personal relationship with them as possible, because ultimately they're like representing our brand. So actually later today when I'm getting off this call, I've got like about 60 boxes that I need to pack with like little gifts for Christmas, and I'm handwriting all of these note cards and sending it to them. And it's gonna take me a couple of hours, but like we want them to know that we're really grateful for the work that they're doing and really thankful, and that like as much as they're like, you know, looking at our brand and giving us coverage, like we appreciate that, you know, and like we want to make sure that if there's anything else in the future, that like they can contact us directly, like we'll jump on the phone whenever they need. And really like being open to that, I think, is very important. Like at the end of the day, like journalists are just the people who like to write stories. So you got to make that connection with them.
And this gets lost, right? In the world of social media and the world of kind of like mass marketing and mass advertising, someone's behind the computer somewhere. You know, it is a person with a name, with a personal life, with interests. I think people forget that people are writing the stories. It's not just like been repackaged, and that personal connection is so key. Like that's so interesting that you're taking the time. And also the traditional media route, people are overlooking that massively now still.
They are. And I think we really believe that there's still so much value in that. We're actually going to be looking at even like billboards and like TV and stuff for next year, because social media advertising and digital advertising, it's just like the costs are getting so expensive.
It's noisy.
Yeah, very, very noisy. And even things like, you know, we've been looking into sponsoring podcasts and other avenues, because especially as well with the tracking issues on iOS for digital marketing, it's becoming less targeted, and it's more kind of like throwing things at the wall and hoping that it sticks. And that, like, you know, if we're going to do that, like let's do more mainstream media, or, you know, and see if they work, because I think you just got to keep thinking outside the box, you know, and keep challenging. What's been working in the past isn't going to be working in the next kind of few years. It's always going to be constantly changing. I suppose as a team, try and be really, really open to that.
If you enjoyed that little mentor moment with Fiona Parfrey, we do them every single weekend. Best way to not miss out is click that subscribe button, whether you're listening on Apple or Spotify, and go to mrgaryfox.com to join my free email newsletter, which over 1,000 people get every single weekend. I will see you back here in a couple of days.